an Air Force Osprey is down with 5 injured. The Solar Impulse is thwarted in its cross-country Moroccan test flight. And flight suits might be linked to the F-22 Raptor's problems. This is Aero News for Friday, June 15, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. An Air Force CV-22 Osprey assigned to the 1st Special Operations Wing has gone down on the Eglin Range, north of Navarre, Florida. 5 crew members aboard the aircraft were taken to local area hospitals, but there were no reported fatalities. The mishap reportedly occurred during a routine training mission. A board of officials will convene to investigate the accident. The 1st Special Operations Wing's mission focus is unconventional warfare, including counterterrorism, combat search and rescue, personnel recovery, psychological operations, aviation assistance to developing nations, deep battlefield resupply, interdiction, and close air support. The wing has units located at the Hulbert Field and Eglin Air Force Bases in Florida, as well as Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. The first major phase of flight testing for the X-47B Unmanned Combat Air System demonstrator aircraft has come to a successful conclusion, with Northrop Grumman Corporation and the U.S. Navy wrapping up testing at Edwards Air Force Base in California. The airworthiness test phase, which comprised 23 flights by 2 air vehicles, proved that the X-47B will perform properly at all speeds, weights, and altitudes associated with the Navy's Unmanned Combat Air System Carrier Demonstration Program. Next up for the X-47B, testing for suitability of operations from an aircraft carrier. That testing will include catapult launches, arrested landings, and wireless remote deck handling of the aircraft. The Solar Impulse aircraft was thwarted in its attempt to fly from Rabat, Morocco to Ouarzazate on Wednesday. After leaving Rabat Airport just after 8 a.m. local time Wednesday morning, the airplane made it about halfway to Casablanca before the decision was made to turn back to Rabat due to degrading weather conditions. The aircraft encountered unexpected headwinds and turbulence, and it was determined that the best course of action was to return to its point of departure. Andre Borsberg landed the aircraft safely at the Rabat International Airport at just after midnight local time. In a news release, the Solar Impulse team said this situation is a perfect reminder of how challenging and difficult the Solar Impulse missions are as they prepare for an around-the-world flight attempt. Both CNN and CBS are reporting that Air Force officials are now examining the special flight suits worn by F-22 Raptor pilots as a contributory factor in the unexplained episodes of pilot sickness. Almost 24 incidents of pilots reporting hypoxia-type conditions have led to the one-time grounding of the F-22 fleet. More recently, pilots were ordered to remain close enough to potential landing sites to allow emergency returns if symptoms arose. Now, these hypoxia symptoms have reportedly been replicated in a simulator, and officials are examining what's called the suit's combat edge, which hampers breathing and causes oxygen loss when combined with physiological conditions that collapse the air sacs in the lungs. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden joined SpaceX CEO and chief designer Elon Musk at the SpaceX Rocket Development Facility in McGregor, Texas on Wednesday to see the first commercial space capsule to complete a mission to the International Space Station. Bolden and Musk also thanked the more than 150 SpaceX employees working at the McGregor facility for their role in the historic mission. SpaceX's Dragon capsule made history May 31st when it returned to Earth after delivering supplies to the space station. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden told the assembled audience, quote, "The Dragon capsule is a tangible example of the new era of exploration unfolding right now," end quote. While on site, Bolden also had the opportunity to view some of the 1,367 pounds of cargo that the spacecraft returned to Earth from the space station. Dragon is the only spacecraft capable of returning significant quantities of science experiments and cargo from the ISS. Sheriff's detectives in Siskiyou County, California, have arrested an 18-year-old suspected of vandalizing several airplanes on Tuesday. Dylan Connor Smith was arrested and charges filed, including taking an aircraft without consent, vandalism, and burglary. The vandalism at the airport was discovered Monday morning. In a news release, the sheriff's office said one airplane had been started and then ran into another airplane, damaging both. The Mount Shasta News reports that 2 other airplanes had also been vandalized. Authorities estimate the damage to all 4 airplanes to be about $250,000. In addition to the damage to the airplanes, a hangar had been broken into, leading to an investigation of possible burglary and theft. Smith was being held in the Siskiyou County Jail with bond set at $25,000. When Aero News continues, Airbus marks 10 years of growth in Wichita. The FAA is told what's been in New York should stay in New York. And are cabin crew child sensitive?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Friday, June 15th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Airbus is marking the 10th anniversary of its engineering center in Wichita, Kansas, the first non-European center for the plane builder. Airbus officials and community representatives met at the facility yesterday to celebrate. To ensure aerospace's future in the city, the company announced its charitable arm, the Airbus Corporate Foundation, will work with the United Way of the Planes in Wichita to sponsor an educational and mentoring program called the Airbus Foundation Flying Challenge. This program, valued at up to $250,000, will connect employees from Airbus and engineering students from Wichita State University with middle school-aged at-risk children in the community. Airbus and WSU mentors will inspire the students to stay in school, improve their studies, and consider a career path toward engineering. United Way welcomed this new initiative, saying 4 out of 10 students will drop out of school each year in Wichita. New York Congressman Tim Bishop met recently with Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and Acting FAA Administrator Michael Huerta to make the case for Long Island as the site for a new integrated air traffic control system for New York's airports. Bishop spearheaded a letter to LaHood and Huerta signed by the entire Long Island congressional delegation, requesting that the proposed integrated control facility to replace the aging New York ARTCC and the New York TRACON be constructed and remain on Long Island. Bishop says of the project, quote, "Building a new consolidated air traffic controller facility on Long Island will create over 1,000 construction jobs and retain over 850 highly skilled FAA jobs on Long Island," end quote. The integration of these two facilities is one of the first steps in the FAA's plan for next-gen air traffic control. The nation's largest airlines posted an on-time arrival rate of 86.3% in April, up from both the 75.5% on-time rate of April a year ago and from March 2012's 82.2% rate. That, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation's Air Travel Consumer Report released on Thursday. In addition, the reporting airlines compiled a mishandled baggage rate of 2.63 reports per 1,000 passengers. That is the lowest rate for any month since carriers first reported this data back in September of 1987. After a recent incident in which a cabin crew demanded a father remove his 3-year-old son from an Alaska Airlines plane after the toddler was deemed too disruptive to fly, a survey conducted by UK-based flight comparison site Skyscanner of more than 1,000 parents has revealed that, far from being an isolated incident, 12% of parents said they have found it difficult to get any sympathy from cabin crew in response to their children's needs. Now, if you turn that around, you could say that 88% of them then feel that the cabin crew do an adequate job with kids. The survey also revealed that for some parents, the stresses of family travel begin before they've even boarded the aircraft, with 16% saying their child had been frightened by the security process, while for a further 15%, the problems began the second they stepped on board, when they found themselves seated apart from their children. Furthermore, almost 1 in 5 parents complained about the lack of toilets and baby changing facilities, along with long lines. One of the hot buttons that the survey says sets the kids off, being told to abruptly turn off their electronic toys without understanding why. Of course, I know a few adults who get upset at that command as well. So now, with an eye toward our own sensitivity training, please return your tray tables to their upright and locked position, check that your seat belts are securely fastened, and please turn off all electronic devices. And our ANN flight attendants will soon be round with lollipops for everyone. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening, and you're now cleared for departure.